going to talk about a very simple, straightforward truth. We could make a joke about it and say that you're all dying to hear. But this morning I want to talk about death. Death. You know, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment. In Romans 5, in verse 12, the Bible tells us, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We want to present six truths about death this morning. First of all, death is something that we all expect to face. Death is something that we all expect to face. The Bible says, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Of course, the Bible tells us that when Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world as sin came into the world. And because we are all sinners, we will all die. You know, the sad thing is that the moment we are born, we are now one day closer to death. Death is to be expected. You know, it's amazing how we try to avoid that. They don't sell death insurance. They sell life insurance. Isn't that amazing? Why don't they tell the truth? Somehow we're trying to make something that we all should be facing, we try to make it somehow something less than what it really is. But we will all die. Life is expected. Now when you're young, somehow you can abuse your body. And somehow you can be deceived to thinking that maybe you won't die. But everyone dies. The Bible says it is appointed on a man once to die. Do you know there are children that die? There are teenagers that die. You know, it's not just old people that die. Everybody dies. But the second thing that we need to think about death, even though death is expected, it most often comes unexpectedly. In our text this morning, the rich man who had a great crop, and he built bigger barns, and he said, you know what? I'm going to build these bigger barns. I'm going to eat, drink, and take it easy. What happened? The Bible says, but God said. But God said. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You know, nobody can go into their planner and write down the day that of their death. Now, nowadays, with self-murder, you might be able to do that. But in reality, nobody really on their own could dot right in their planner the day they're going to die. You don't open up your planner and say, okay, it says right here, 5 o'clock on such and such a date, I'm going to die. Comes unexpectedly. You know, my father, at 80 years of age, was a very healthy man. I remember at 80 years of age, he had part of his property that was uncleared. And it was kind of a gathering place for the farmer's rocks. And the part of his yard he wanted cleaned out. And so at 80 years of age, he cleaned out all these rocks, these boulders, out of this section of his yard. And I can still remember going over there with our big truck and our Bobcat and loading up all these rocks. I mean, there were tons of rocks that we loaded up out of that place that he moved with without any machinery. You know, he moved with a bar and dug them out of the ground and got them on the side. But he had been fighting skin cancer all his life, he'd been getting skin burned off for years and years. And finally, it just, melanoma was in the family, and finally, they said, you know, you gotta take radiation, you gotta take chemotherapy. And once that took place, he didn't die from cancer, he died of a heart attack, because the chemo just weakened everything else in his body. And I remember going to visit my dad, and he said, you know, the battery is really low today. The battery is real low. There's not much energy in this battery. And he would just kind of, you know, get around, but he didn't have any energy there. The heart wasn't ticking too good. I remember and I remember the Memorial Day that he died. We were working on the mission house, and we had a big project going. We're tearing out the kitchen floor, and we had to put new joists in there, and I was in charge of the project, and we were doing this project, and all this while I was thinking, I don't really want to be here. I need to go see my dad, but I was in charge of the project, and he was on my heart. My dad had that day went out to his back deck, and he had a handsaw that he would take the back of that blade and go between the boards and clean all the dirt between the boards so they wouldn't have any dirt there and wouldn't rot. And he went out there and he did the back deck, and he came into the house and sat, collapsed right there, died instantly. You know, we knew he was going to die. But even though we expected it, it was unexpected, you know? We knew he was going to die. We knew the ticker was getting weaker, but death is unexpected. We don't have a day that we know we're going to die. This fool in the Bible, he said, oh, I got it made the rest of my life. Death came unexpectedly. Do you know when you're going to die? You don't know when you're going to die. No one knows when they're going to die. Death is expected, but it's unexpected. But death is final. You know, Death is final. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, has an interesting verse about death. Thought we'd read that this morning. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 8. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. There is no man that says, okay, I'm not going to die today. There's no man that says, okay, death is at my door, I'm not dying. The Bible says, no man hath power to retain the Spirit. When God calls a spirit home, or calls that spirit back, that's it. Man has no power over the Spirit. It says, and there is no discharge in that war. There's no release from it. There's no coming back. There's no second chance. Death is final. Death is final. I don't know if we can really get it. But death is final. There's no return. There's no second chance. There's no living again. Death is final. As much as we don't want it to be, it's final. Death is final. When that day is, only God knows. But the Bible says, it's appointed unto a man once to die. And then the judgment. In other words, there's no living the life again. No chance undo to relive, to go a different route. None of us know that day, but when it comes, it's final. You go to the cemetery. What do you see? Name, date of birth, date of death. It's final. Number four, death has no U-Haul. Death has no U-Haul. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 7. Verse 6, I think it's good to read the context, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I wonder, does the world think that? But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what God says. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You know, death has no U-Haul. All the things that people live for will be left behind. No U-Haul at death. Wonder how many people think about that. Obviously, some people make a mock of it. You've seen the bumper sticker. He who dies with the most toy wins. According to the Bible, that's the person who loses the most. And yet, is not that the focus of most of this world? Number five, death is both physical and spiritual. Death is both physical and spiritual. In Luke chapter 16, we have the account of Jesus telling about a rich man who died. A rich man who died and didn't have time for God. A poor man, a beggar, who all he had was God. Luke chapter 16, and it came to pass, verse 22, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Here he died physically, but there's something afterward. And the rich man died and was buried. I think he had a funeral home service. Had a funeral home service. Now notice, the poor man didn't, I don't see any record of a poor man being buried, a funeral, any of that. But he was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. But it says of the rich man, he was died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and saith Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Death is not only physical, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. You know, I was thinking about that. And nothing against your profession, Mr. Soltis. But you know, in America, death is almost made non-death. You know, you see this one you love, or you know, and they've been embalmed. I mean, they've been made to look really nice, have a nice suit of clothes on, or a nice dress, or whatever. You know, and you know, there's this fancy casket. And there's these fancy, you know, coverings there, and a beautiful little pillow there, and all these flowers, you know. And it's almost like it didn't really happen. You know what I mean? There's an emphasis on the physical that really detracts from the reality. Now I think about, in a lot of places of the world, if you remember this last week, week ago, there's this terrorist in Jerusalem. Can't remember what, if he was driving a car or whatever it was, but he ran into some people there and a little baby died. And the next day they had the news what the baby's father said at the funeral. And course, brought into stark reality in many places of the world. The funeral, the burial is the same day. Why is the burial the same day? Because in just a few hours, the body starts smelling. Most people, most places of the world, their body doesn't look too good. Not long after death. And a person is really quickly, especially get a hot climate. Whew. A hot climate, all of a sudden, you realize, oh, this life is over for this person. It's over, it's over, it's over. The emphasis is not on the physical. The emphasis is that there's a soul that's now gone. There's a soul that is now gone. I think about that. I just, interesting reading a little article. And I don't know how true it is, but it's an article. A quote, Dr. Maurice Rawlings, a cardiologist, has witnessed numerous patients during and after their near-death experiences and reported his findings in Beyond Death's Door. Most of these I'm kind of skeptical about, but I thought this is worth reading. After interviewing 300 patients immediately after resuscitation, Dr. Rawlings says that nearly half of them reported seeing a lake of fire. Devil-like figures, and other sights reflecting the reality of hell. There is a life after death, Rawlings said, and if I don't know where I'm going, it's not safe to die. A respiratory nurse who works in an emergency room told me about a patient who had gone code red. He flatlined. She and some other medical personnel rushed over with a defibrillator to try to bring him back to life. They applied the paddles and revived him. She said that he started screaming and shouting, "The fire, the heat, the heat!" Then his heart stopped again. They brought him back a second time. He shouted, "The flames, the flames!" They lost him again. Four times the man flatlined and was brought back, each time shouting about the heat or the flames. After the last time, he died, and they couldn't bring him back. She said all the doctors and nurses just stood there for a few minutes and stared at the body. They all knew that man went to hell. He was screaming it to them before he even got out of there. Death is both physical and spiritual. The Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death is both physical and spiritual. But lastly, death is followed by eternity. Death is followed by eternity. The Bible says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. But vanisheth away to an eternal state somewhere. The psalmist David said in Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, he said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David couldn't have been Amish, could he? Because the Amish don't think you can know you're going to heaven. David did. David couldn't have been a Calvinist. Calvinists don't believe you can know for sure you're saved. A strict Calvinist. But David said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. The Lord Jesus, what did he say? He said in Mark chapter 9, verse 44, "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." Says, you ain't got a problem with the thievery? Be better off not to have a hand than to go to hell because you can't repent of your thievery. "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." I don't think we can comprehend eternity. I don't think we can comprehend eternity. Someone said, "Well, how long is eternity?" Now think of it, eternity without God. How long will that be? Well, someone said eternity is like if you had a sparrow and he took one grain of sand from the Atlantic beaches and crossed the Atlantic and deposited the grain of sand on the beaches of Europe. And he flew back and forth until all the grains of sand from all the beaches of the Atlantic were deposited on the shores of the European countries. It would just be one day in eternity. Just one day. You know, we think about death. I think it would be good to repeat what that doctor said. If you don't know where you are going, it's not safe to die. If you don't know where you are going, it is not safe to die. Now, I don't believe in being paranoid in that sense. But I think a person could be rightfully paranoid about maybe traveling airplanes or traveling in a car. Well, I mean, people, you know, maybe even riding a bike. You know, man, you know, I spent all my growing up years riding a bike, and I never wore a helmet one time. Man, I'm alive. Can you believe it? And you know what? I mean, I grew up and for the first, 35, 40 years of my life, I rarely ever had a seatbelt on, and I'm alive. Amazing. And those things do save lives. You better put it on because, you know what? If you don't know where you're going, it's not safe to die. There's an antidote to the whole principle of death. And that is Jesus Christ came to give life. John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. I am come, he said, John 10, I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. Life. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, he brought death into the world. But Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he brought life. You know, there's a lot of dead people walking around. And I'm not talking about ghosts. I'm talking about spiritually dead people. I remember when I was 18, I heard about a sermon preached at my church's college in Waukesha. The sermon was, God is dead. And I remember as a young person, 18 years of age, thinking, man, that's scary. That's a scary sermon. That's a scary subject. God dead? I don't think he's dead. I hope he's not dead. But if he's dead or alive, I don't really know. And that was the truth. Because the Bible says your sins have separated you from God. And my sin had separated me from God. My sin made me spiritually dead. I was separated from the living God. Because I was separated from that living God, I didn't know that he was alive because I was spiritually dead. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. To be alive, but to be dead. There's a lot of people walking around that are spiritually dead. And Jesus said to a dead man, but he was really alive. He said to a spiritually dead man, a religious leader, a priest, you might say, he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. You need life from heaven. He had life from Adam. That was death. Oh, he is religious. But you know, religion gets everything mixed up. Religion gets everything mixed up. You know, religion is so mixed up. Because dead people can't understand the Bible. And dead people, spiritually dead people, they don't understand spiritual things. I never forget the time. We had a baptism at Mequonago River. And you know, our children, ever since they were babes, they were taught the Bible. My mother, my wife, we had family devotions. They taught the Bible. They went to church. They were all in church every service all their life, except if they were sick. And my wife read the Bible and prayed with them every night and read the Bible to them during the day. They knew the plan of salvation. We taught them from the earliest of age, continue talk about sin and the penalty of sin, and Christ died. Christ came as the Son of God. He died on Calvary's cross as man's substitute, and that man must personally receive Christ in order to be saved. And we had a baptism on the river, and I remember one of our children, 5 or 6 years of age. They'd heard the truth all their life, that you're not saved by good works, you're not saved by religious deeds, not saved by religious rites. No, you're only saved by personal faith in Jesus Christ. And I remember coming back from that baptism, and one of those kids said, so-and-so got saved today. No, they didn't get saved today. Baptism is only for saved people. I mean, they heard the truth all their life. But you know what? They're spiritually dead. And even though they were around religion, they didn't get it. Why? Because spiritually dead people don't understand the truth. They make it something that it isn't. You need to be born again. You need life from above. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And here's this fellow who knew all about Abraham and how he was born again, knew all about Jacob and how he was born again. He knew all these things, but he didn't get it. Jesus said, you must be born again. And Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Life in this life, spiritual life. And life in the eternity to come. He that believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you ready for death? Now, if you don't know where you're going to go when you die, and I'm not talking about hope so, and I'm not talking about this foolishness that you think you might be good enough to make it. No, nobody's good enough to make it. Every one of us are sinners. Nobody is good enough to make it to heaven. It's only through Christ that we can be saved. And you need to turn to him and receive him. Turn from your sin and your rebellious ways and recognize that you deserve to go to hell and trust Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I can point to a time that the Holy Spirit showed me that my life was full of sin, and showed me that I had a sinful heart, and showed me that I knew for sure I was on my way to hell. And I recognized that Jesus Christ died for me. And I wanted him to save me from my sin and for him to give me a new life and a new heart. And I turned to him and I trusted him that day. You know, if there's a day that you can point to that you trusted Jesus Christ and you were born again and your life was changed that day, and you've been different ever since, I want you to know you're going to die too. You're not going to die spiritually, but you are going to die physically. And there's going to be no U-Hauls behind you either. No U-Hauls. You know, Moses said, it says, let us apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let us number our days. You know, he said, you know, a lot of people live to be 70. If they live to be 80, wow, that's a gift from God. But you know, none of us have that guarantee. It says, let us apply our hearts unto wisdom. What are you living for? What are you living for? Okay, young person. What are you living for? You say you're saved. What are you living for? What if you died today? What if you died today? I mean it. What if you died today? What have you been living for as a Christian that you would be glad to see the Lord Jesus with your life? It's easy to waste your life, isn't it? I mean, do you really think about the fact that you could die today? I don't hope so. I don't hope that anybody in this room dies today. I mean, we all want to live, amen? But you know what? We could die. We could die. And that's the end of our life. And there's no return. Let's say you're 16 years of age and you die. You die. Well, you don't get to come back to this earth and live right, live for God. No, you don't get the chance. What if you never? What if you don't witness to? What if you don't witness to people? What if you never witnessed anybody? What if your life is a sham? And they would look at your life and they would never know that you are a Christian. You're not any different than anybody else. Never witnessed to people. And you're going to die. What will you have to present to the Lord from your life? Nothing. You know, teenagers die. You know that? Teenagers do die. You know, young adults die too. You can be in your 20s and you could die. What if you haven't really done much for God? Will you get a chance to do it over? No. What if you never led anybody to Christ yet? And you die. It's over. No chance to serve God. Now, you can get down to real reality and say, you know what? I'm 64 and a half. You know, that's what kids say. You know, I'm 1 and a half, you know. You know. 12 and a half, you know. Not 12, you know. I remember when my grandpa turned 65. You know, Social Security was founded in 1930s when life expectancy was 65. You talk about a ripoff. They had it all figured out. Give the government all your money, all your life, and you're going to die at 65, and they keep it. But you know what? People die all the time in their 60s, don't they? I just read that this week that the rule of 27 isn't true. The rule of 27 is that rock musicians die at age 27. Now, a lot of them have. But it's not true. Jimi Hendrix died at 27. A bunch of other big ones died at 27. But all of them die 20 to 30 years earlier than other people. Not without exception, but most of them. But you know what? I could die. But I am going to die probably a lot sooner than I want. And we need to take account of our life and say, wait a minute, what am I going to do with my life? Death is coming, but it's going to come unexpectedly. And when it comes, it's final. And when it comes, we don't take any of these things of this world with us. And when it comes, it's followed by eternity. Eternity. No chance to live it over. Let us apply our heart to wisdom. Have any regrets? how you lived your Christian life. Let's apply our heart to wisdom. Do we have victory over besetting sins in our life? Let's apply our hearts to wisdom. Let's not face the Lord with besetting sins. What are we doing with our life? Only got a short amount of time. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to give our life to win souls to Jesus Christ? Are we going to give our life to do that which is important? Or are we going to just let it slip away? Because it'll come so soon. I was telling my wife, I think it was yesterday. I think it was. I said, you know, my dad died at 82. That means I only got 17 and a half years left if I live to be 82. Oh, man. You know how fast 17 and a half years goes? Oh, that goes really fast. Some of you are parents and your kids are 18 and you can say, you know what? It seems like yesterday they were born. Death's coming. And it's final. It's final. Moses said, let's apply our hearts to wisdom. Are there some big decisions we need to make? I think there are. I doubt that there's anybody in this room that doesn't have some big decisions that should be made in light of the fact that we are going to die. And maybe we would make them if we really knew the day we were going to die. If we're going to die next year, maybe we'd shape up. But we don't know that, do they? If you're here and you don't know where you're going, it's not safe to die. Because there's an eternity. There's an eternity. And the chances are, if you don't know where you're going, you're going to the wrong place. Because when you accept Jesus Christ and the Son of God comes into your life, it's big. Amen. Being born again is real. Amen. And chances are, if you don't know that, you've been born again, you got a new life, you understand all this, chances are you really don't know. And you're on your way to hell. You don't want to die. And the Bible says that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's even speaking to our hearts today, desiring that if you don't know where you're going to go, that there would be a recognition that you certainly need to seek God now while you can. If a Christian, let's apply our hearts to wisdom. If there's some big decisions that need to be made, think about it. Probably 5 years ago, you knew you needed to make those big decisions and you still haven't made them. Isn't that likely? And you aren't going to make them in 5 years from now unless you get a hold of your life and say, that's it. That's it. No more drifting. No more self-deception. No more living on intentions. Today's the day. Thank God that God created us with a will. And thank God when we got saved, that will got regenerated. And we can decide to do what God wants us to do. He has given us the ability to decide. in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the great opportunity that we have this day. Something that every once in a while we just need to be put it right in front of us. Death. Death. It's real. There's no escape. And we pray even for your Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that with Jesus Christ, death is only a shadow. Because those who know Jesus Christ, death is an entrance into the gates of heaven. And only those who experience it are those who are, in one sense, left behind. And so, Lord, we pray that we would not be afraid of death, but we would be prepared for death. We would be able to say with the Apostle John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Or we'd be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "For to be with Christ is far better." And so, Lord, may you speak to our hearts this morning. May the lost be drawn to the Savior. May they be convicted by your Spirit. Only you can convince us of the truth. May God's people be challenged today with this reality that escapes us in this prosperous, comfortable world we live in. We pray that you'll work in hearts. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed.